The Worst Team Ever by Philip Gwynn, read by Stig Weems. Jimmy Milliken runs onto the oval, his skinny white legs moving quickly. His red hair is cut short, and his nose and cheeks are scattered with freckles. He's wearing a North Melbourne jumper, blue and white, with a kangaroo on the front. On the back is the number 18. The jumper is much too big and bunches up where he has it tucked into his shorts. His blue and white socks almost reach his knees. Jimmy looks around. Behind one set of goals is a factory. Tall chimneys belch grey smoke into the grey sky. Behind the other goals is a huge block of flats. Washing hangs from the windows, white against the dirty brown of the brickwork. It's all so different, Jimmy thinks. The flat, the school, the city, everything is different. But then he feels the spring of the grass underfoot. He sees the goalposts, tall and white in the distance, and he starts to feel better. At least this is the same. Jimmy reaches the edge of the square. A group of players, maybe six or seven, each in a different coloured jumper, are having shots at goal. Another group wait in the goal square. "Hi, is this the Matrafield under-13s?" says Jimmy, talking quickly like he always does. Just then the ball comes spinning through the air. Dipper, a nuggety blonde kid, marks it on his chest. "Here, that's us," he says, lining up the goals. "My name's James, but everybody calls me Jimmy. We just moved in over there." Jimmy points to the block of flats. "Our place is right up on the 7th floor. It's really high." Nobody takes any interest in what Jimmy is saying, but he continues. "You can even see the oval, but you've got to stand on the toilet and look out the window." Silence. Dipper kicks the ball. It's a beautiful drop punt, long and straight, and seems destined for a goal. Big brown fists. "You take this with you on Monday." "All right. I knew Eddie would have something to help me. I knew he'd come through." I hold out my hand. Eddie opens his fist. It's empty. "You got everything you need inside of you, Anton." Eddie puts his heavy hand on my shoulder. "You can handle anything. Just think strong." I've got to say, I'm a bit disappointed. I mean, I didn't expect Eddie to give me a magic skull or a stick of dynamite or anything, but something other than nothing would have been useful. I mean, I'm not sure I can rely on myself alone to handle much at all, let alone 1,000 big kids and a teacher who seems to think being small is actually against the law.